The only prerequisite for students is that they be able to read auras and see other people move out of their bodies, Bostwick said. I'm going to repeat that sentence because it's just presented here at face value. The only prerequisite for students is that they be able to read auras and see other people move out of their bodies, Bostwick said. One prominent graduate of the church's clairvoyant training program is Carol Singler, 38, an owner of the Round Table Pizza chain. Most Monday nights, she meets with a group of other channelers and psychics at the former Church of the Nazarene in San Anselmo, which the Church of the Divine Man recently bought. One recent evening, Singler sat in a row of nine psychics, all of them ministers of the church, for a mass channeling session. Simultaneously, they fell into a trance so that their spirit entities could speak through them. While this was going on, assistants hovered behind them, stroking and fanning their auras. In trance, Carol said she was speaking for Jenny, who lived in Norfolk, Virginia, until she was killed in the Korean War. I just started working with this body since Friday, unquote, Jenny Singler said. We've been in communication a month. I've known Carol before. She is working on a spiritual level, and I'm in affinity with her body. I'm the next step in her learning process and growth. Cheryl Eloff, I-L-O-F-F, a financial analyst, channeled a spirit named Jewel, who died of a broken heart after her lover jumped out a window during the stock market crash in 1929. I would interrupt again. We're probably going to have a lot more spirits coming through bodies, unquote, after the crashes that have been going on now. Returning to the article, Steve Drilica, D-R-L-I-C-A, a 41-year-old veterinarian with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, became the vehicle for Elmer, a farmer who left his body, unquote, 2,000 years ago. Sharon Davis, 43, a nurse, spoke for Jennifer, a dancer who gave her last performance in 1792, and so on. Well, again, I'm not going to comment on that editorially other than some of the sarcastic comments I've thrown in so far. Suffice it to say, I simply would ask people to reflect on that particular facet of contemporary America and reflect on that particularly against the background of Holly Sklar's, or Dusty Sklar's, description of the inclination of people in Weimar Germany to the occult. Compare that article with the following passage. We've already read this, but I think part of this is worth repeating. Again, from Gods and Beasts by Dusty Sklar. If it seems too fantastic to believe that one of the most civilized countries in the world should have fallen to occultism, here is a highly respected German historian, an exiled former staff member of the liberal newspaper Frankfurter Zeitung, Conrad Haydn, observing in his introduction to the memoirs of Dr. Felix Kirsten, Heinrich Himmler's masseur, that among the Germans, quote, the best of them found refuge from the despair of their daily life in a perverse fanaticism called the mysticism of a political movement, unquote. Germany was the perfect place for this development. In almost no other country were so many miracles, unquote, performed, so many ghosts conjured, so many illnesses cured by magnetism, so many horoscopes read between the two world wars. A veritable mania of superstition had seized the country, and all those who made a living by exploiting human stupidity thought the millennium had come. General Erich Ludendorff, who had commanded the German armies in World War I, tried to make gold with the assistance of a swindler boasting the appropriate name of Tausend, meaning thousand. There was scarcely a folly in natural or world history to which the great general did not lend credence. When the German Republic, which he hated so intensely, had the barriers of the railway crossings painted red and white for better visibility, Ludendorff declared that the Jews in the government were doing this because Moses had led the Jews through the desert under these colors. Another high-ranking general was convinced that he possessed the secret of the death ray and that he could halt airplanes in their flight and stop tanks in their tracks. A steamship company dismissed its managing director because his handwriting had displeased a graphologist. Motorists avoided a certain road between Hamburg and Bremen because it was rumored from milestone number 113 there emanated certain mysterious terrestrial rays, unquote, which provoked one accident after another. A miracle worker who had the faculty of making the dead Bismarck appear during his mass meetings and who healed the sick by application of white cheese had enough followers to establish a city. Another crackpot was almost elected to the Reichstag, and still a third, who also barely missed election, promised to perform the greatest miracle of all by undoing the German inflation that had depreciated the mark to the value of 1 trillion paper marks for one gold mark. Obviously, there are some similarities between the psychosocial goings-on in the Weimar Republic and those today. It's time for the phone-in session up here once again.